Hey, listen up, Willie McGinnis and David Carr. Whether you ride a bike, a bronc, or a skateboard, Wrangler Jeans has something for you. Classic or modern styles, a range of fits, all price points, vintage re-releases. Wrangler has something for everyone. So visit Wrangler.com and check out their selection of jeans, shirts, pants, and outerwear for men and women. Wrangler, denim made for the modern world, which does include McGinnis and Carr. Start the show!
David.
Football, David.
That's right.
Damashek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Damashek.
Yeah, you're right. Willie McGinnis seated in between a couple of Davids.
That's right. A David sandwich, if you will.
Yeah. Is it a David sandwich or is it a McGinnis sandwich? Because he's the one in between us.
You're right.
We're just mere bread. Either way, hi and hello and welcome David's to the Dave Damashek football program. I hope all's well wherever you are. I know it is because football, real football, meaningful games are just about here upon us. In the meantime, we'll continue to kibitz a little bit about the month-long lie that is preseason.
What are you talking about?
It dupes your eyes into thinking things that aren't true come September.
Dave, it's the third preseason game. It is real in the third preseason game because the starters
play. It's the only one, right?
The starters play into the third quarter.
So. That's a relatively new phenomenon.
No, it's for real. If you played in the third preseason game, you know it's for real.
I think the savvy coaches, though, have figured that out. Like, all right, we'll run them out there because it is good for them to get the game speed and everything else, but we don't need to do it multiple times in August. We'll do it that third weekend of preseason, and then that's it.
You don't do it as much. Some games you may play at a quarter or a few series, but in that game, you play a lot.
Guys are playing less and less, though. I feel like they're playing less and less now.
That couldn't have been true when you were in first got to the league, right?
Yeah, we were playing. My first preseason game.
That's what I'm saying.
I played all four.
All right, I want to talk about football, but first, the important breaking news. How excited are you guys about the Hills coming back? Willie, I start with you.
The Hills?
Yeah.
I don't watch the Hills.
All right. I thought we weren't jiving today, but all right, David Carr.
Tristan, I've been around. I've watched the Hills, the OC, all the shows, man. So
I know about it. I just don't watch
it. I can't believe it's coming back. I mean, they pretty much reboot everything, so it's only a matter of time before that comes.
No, I was just kidding about that being the big news. The big news, big news is...
I was kind of interested, actually.
You have to learn this guy.
I
kind of like the Hills.
That's fine. Listen, all I ask is no jive. I'm no judgment from Damashek, if that's what...
I watched it. I definitely watched it. We're from Bakersfield, California. We don't get a lot of nice scenery and ocean views. Like, we're in the valley. Like, it's hot. And
who's the biggest showbiz celebrity you've glad-handed with, David Carr?
Merle Haggard.
Really? You met Haggard?
I did, yeah.
How about you, outside of sports?
I've met a lot, man. I would say Denzel. The guy I've rubbed elbows with
That's pretty good.
He's not the only one, but to me, he's the biggest.
How long did you kibitz with him?
For a while. We watched games together,
hung out together.
Yeah.
One afternoon this was?
No, just not one time, more than once.
Wait a second.
I've never been in
McGinnis and Washington pulled up a couch and enjoyed some football together?
He's a normal guy. He's a great guy.
Really? Yeah. What's his team?
I don't know. It was college. We were watching the college national championship, and we were watching. We were at some Monday night thing, and it was just Monday night. He's a sports fan. He's a Laker fan. He's always at the Laker games.
Right.
I don't know if he still has his tickets, but of course, we've been at Laker games because I was a season ticket holder. And I gave him away a year ago, and I feel like an idiot now because LeBron is here.
McGinnis had season tickets to the purple and gold. I didn't know that.
Man.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll talk about the Lakers when basketball season gets a little bit closer here. In the meantime, the big story of the day is we're recording on Tuesday. First overall draft pick, Baker Mayfield, doing underpants ads, flanked by a tiger, a Bengal tiger. He's on the Browns, and he's standing next to.
Yeah,
did anybody point out,
sense.
Hey, that's a Bengal you're with there, pal?
Maybe a bulldog.
You didn't catch it, though, right?
Of course I caught it. What do you mean?
He's sitting against the Rolls Royce, right?
All right.
With his arms crossed.
Yeah.
And he's got the Bengal tiger tamed.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
He's got the Bengal tiger tame. Like, I got this.
And Antonio Brown may have taken a Rolls Royce to training camp.
He did. 1931.
So now there's only one more piece of the puzzle. It's the Pittsburgh Steeler connection that we're missing.
See, this is what you don't get unless you get to talk with real football insiders.
Right.
Yeah, or was it a shot at David Carr, another first overall guy? Look, I'm now putting my butt where David Carr used to be. This is my deal.
Gotcha. Or we could view it as someone that just needs some sun. If you're going to do something like that, you can't have the T-shirt tan.
Nah.
Because everybody's going to see it. Like how?
Spray. So he should have did a spray tan just for the shoot?
Just walk outside for 2 days. Just walk around the park. Go play football. Literally go to the football field and throw balls for an hour without a shirt.
This is entertainment. They just give you a spray tan for the shoot.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
You don't have to do all that.
Yeah, that's true.
They covered all their bases, though, otherwise, and they didn't forget Mayfield putting his headband on.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah, right.
Why is it cool?
I think he's a cool cat. I mean, I think that the Tiger resembles like his kind of mentality, is like his spirit, his energy, and you know what he is. He's leaning against the Rolls Royce, like he's the first pick overall, so he's worth a little something, right?
That's true. Yeah.
And then he's sitting against there like he's got swag. Like, I mean, I kind of like the kid.
I think I'm just taking
the swag.
You do like that.
I think for the shoot, they could have probably, you know, drawn things out a little bit better.
They
could have helped him out a little bit better. But at the end of the day, like, he's getting paid.
Eli Manning has some pictures like that rolling around the internet. Go ahead and Google
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah, you can.
Well,
you
so
can pull
did Tom
out.
With the goat and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's
kind of like
it's forever. The internet is, internet's forever. Just so you guys know.
Well, yeah. What will haunt a guy more? The Baker Mayfield shirtless underpants ad with the tiger, or Tom Brady with the goat?
Well, he is a goat. He is the goat. So I wouldn't say, like, you know, I mess with him all the time because he's evolved so much in a lot of different areas, and he hit me back with, "Hey, bro, long time ago."
You know what I mean? He's trying to get over. He's trying to
we've all done things. I did the big man dance challenge. I feel like an idiot when I see that now. I'm
Wait a minute. What's the big man dance challenge?
We're dancing for this competition for the league to get money for a charity, and all the big guys were doing it, and we had this choreographer come in and had us doing all this booty shaking and all this crap.
My goodness.
And I'm looking at that stuff now like,
why did I do it?
Hey, how do we erase those tapes?
You can't do it.
You can't do it.
No. Carr, you must have gotten...
Oh, he has a video, too.
No.
He has a video with his brother.
Oh. There are videos
there
out there.
There is a great video of him and his brother, and we showed it on the NFL Network. I don't know if we have any clips, but...
Oh, we'll have to track those.
He's the sexy man. What was that ad for?
It was a... We did a commercial for a credit union up in Fresno, but it was an 80s throwback like music video.
Classic.
A lot of people thought it was real life, though, like legit.
Can we please find that and show clips really, of that? We showed it here on the network. It was awesome.
It was
a Fresno
fantastic.
Credit.
I didn't know he was an entertainer.
Good people, Fresno Credit.
I didn't know he was an entertainer like that. Like he brought out all the inner skills of entertainment.
I did. Because Derek can dance really well. And I was like, you can't put me on the same stage with this guy. It's not fair. But
I figured it out.
Thanks, bro. Yeah. Appreciate it.
anxious to track this one down. You know, we talk about Tom Brady a lot, Willie. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're talking about arguably at least the greatest player we've ever seen. It's pretty easy to say he's the best you have ever played with.
Quarterback?
Best player you've ever played with.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
How about you? David Carr.
Is Tom Brady the best player I've ever played with?
No, you didn't play with him.
I know. That's one. I think...
you got Eli, right? And who else?
I think Eli's probably the best player that I played with.
That can't be right.
He plays the same positions. It's really hard to say that, but he was. Because you'd be in the room with him, and he's just... The mental acuity and like the knowledge of what was happening. And he'd take it to the field, and then he wouldn't be rattled. Like, He's just so flatlined.
I mean, I play with some great players.
Man, it's impressive.
So, I mean,
that's why I'm asking. I mean, you were on one of the all-time teams.
If you go with accolades and accomplishments and everything that he's done and longevity and consistency, probably yeah. I mean, Richard Seymour, Rodney Harrison. You know, I played with some really good guys.
Who's the best on the defensive side? Yourself. Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't care.
Say that.
No jive. If you want to say McGinnis, say McGinnis.
I'm never going to put myself.
You
out
could
there. Outside of myself. I play like I said. Seymour, Harrison, Brewski. I played with Vrabel. He's a really good player. Ty Law.
Ty Law. What about him? Is the best you ever played?
He's one of. Yeah. He should be a Hall of Famer.
And Eli, that's your choice.
Yeah.
Eli Manning, the best player you ever were out there with.
Yeah, he was the real deal.
Interesting. Yep. Now, you mentioned, so we talk about Baker Mayfield, and Willie, you say you like his swag. I'm curious, though, have you ever been in a locker room, either one of you guys, and was there buzz by the end of training camp? Boy, this guy we drafted in the first round is going to be a bust. He's not good. Did that ever happen? Yeah. Like, boy, this guy is just not good. What were our scouts and our coaches thinking?
Not at that position.
At any position.
Yeah, there's guys.
You identify that a week in.
Absolutely.
And say, this guy, oh, this is
most,
not
mostly out. It's work ethic. And if you guys are, like, if the veterans are constantly on someone, they just aren't going to make it. Like, if you constantly have to tell someone that's being paid to be a professional football player to act like a professional and do things the way that we're doing them, then they're not going to be around very long.
And there's guys that, you know, even when I went to Cleveland, I saw that I'm like, you're a top five pick. And I'm sorry to say, your work ethic, the way you work, the way you think, what you think is football is not football, and what you put into it. Those guys have 1 year, 1 or 2 years, and then they're out of the league.
But it's funny; it's not even really first round picks. It's like all the guys that come in, you can spot them quickly.
Right?
Like it doesn't.
And it has to do with, like you say, this has to do more with attitude,
work ethic,
and intellect,
yep.
and that sort of thing.
And your intelligence, and like what you can bring to the field. Can you take what was in the meeting room and then put it on the field and then do something with it?
And then performance, right?
And performance,
you on performance. That's the
for
biggest
sure.
one.
Yeah.
But it seems to me. Correct me if I'm wrong. Don't they the scouts and personnel guys swing and miss? On
a
the
lot.
Attitude side, I agree. I laugh annually at the at the fact that those guys condescend to everybody else who has opinions about draft. And hey, I don't know if you guys noticed, but the successful ones among you hit it about 58%. You guys,
are
hardly flawless yourselves.
They don't like to bring that part.
I know they condescend. Oh, who are you to weigh in on draft?
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know. Flip a coin.
I can
and
flip
you're pretty
a coin
much going to get it right. Yeah.
That's exactly right. But it's not about. Physical attributes
I would say that's the base. If you can go out and perform, I think you can learn those things that he's talking about. I've seen players that wasn't students of the game, didn't have the work ethic, didn't know to be there early, leave late, didn't know how to watch film, didn't understand, like, you got to outwork your opponent, all those different things, and they caught on. And they learned that part.
Learn that
but
stuff.
I think the God-given ability is something you can't just inject in a player.
Right.
You can't manufacture certain things. You can't manufacture mentality either and mindset.
Yeah.
Like, I think those things come within players. But there's certain things that you can teach players and what an NFL pro is supposed to be.
It is interesting, though, also in the 21st century, as much as these guys are now coached up in advance of the combine and beyond and the draft, and they're so it's so drilled, here's the right thing to say, that they probably, that there are probably, the scouts get tricked more by that, because you can coach them up to some degree, and you don't really see
late. We might get the real version the first day or two that he shows up to OTAs, you know, and he's been kind of faked everybody else, but we'll know right off the bat.
Right.
Like, you sit in the meeting room with a guy, you know what he's all about instantly. So, yeah, that's a good point.
The tape never lie, though.
Yeah,
the tape never lies.
Tape's real.
Yeah. In the 21st century, I would guess that personnel guys aren't duped by that guy's skill set is going to translate at the highest level. That they can divide.
They can figure that out.
They can't figure out what the guy's real mental makeup is.
Yeah.
All right. Much to get to here, fellas. One thing that we started talking about last week, and I'm curious for your opinions, and as a matter of fact, let's start with Tom Brady here on a broader conversation issue, quarterback conversation issue, is if Tom Brady, for whatever reason, he just decides on the eve of the season, I'm going to retire, I don't want to play, or whatever, because I don't want to speak of injuries for anybody. I don't want to put that out there. But he just decides to hang it up. But whatever, he's not available to play. Does Brian Hoyer lead the Patriots to an AFC East title?
Ooh. I would say possibly.
All right. Well, yeah, it's possible.
I would say possibly because he's a veteran. He's played in that system. Josh McDaniels will put him in position and game plan around him according and also who they're playing against. And when you look at the AFC East right now, like, who's dominant outside?
I wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins are okay this year. I think they're going to be a little bit better.
They lost a lot.
I know.
Dolphins lost a whole lot.
But I think...
Who are the Dolphins?
Well, in talking to Sean O'Hara, who was down there and bouncing off of Adam Gase, I think that a lot of coordinators out there over the last 20 years or so have lived off of one magic season, yeah. and they've ridden the he's an offensive genius, or he's a quarterback guru.
Well, I was in a room with Peyton Manning, so I can equate my greatness with him.
Right. I think a lot of guys survive on the perception that's the case, but I've heard from a few people, and most recently Sean O'Hara, that Adam Gase is in fact the real deal. He is
him.
A genius, and he just wanted to purge certain guys.
Listen, I'm all about track record and you know, your resume and all those different things. I would be hesitant. I think Adam Gase would be hesitant to say he's a football genius at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
He needs time. He needs players. I think he needs a system incorporated where he's at, guys that can buy into that system, players that can buy into that system. I would say Miami has had the most success against the Patriots, mm-hmm. if you break it down. But if you go and talk to him, I don't think he's where he wants to be, or he, for that matter, has the roster.
I agree. Well, there's a practical deficit in skill position guys. I mean, you have old Frank Gore, who might be fine, and Kenyon Drake. Yeah, people are excited about.
Yeah, Drake is good when Landry was kind of there, opposite of him. But now if he's going to be the guy, how does that dynamic change? I mean, you got now the number one corner is going to come follow you around. Well, who you got over here? So it's going to be tough. But Drake's the
running back.
I was thinking about Parker.
Devontae Parker. Right.
Yeah, so if Devontae Parker is now your
they
guy.
They said he's the guy. They said he's.
That's what I'm saying. It's just different. You know, like he's good against the second corner. Like now he's going to go against the main
Albert
guy.
Albert Wilson.
Yeah, right.
Kenny Stills. Color me unimpressed.
Stills has been pretty good.
I know, he's been fine. Yeah. But the larger question is, do you think Brian Hoyer, because it really does speak to
the larger
deficit
question is
of
what,
competition
what the quarterback
for Brady.
Is going to do, in my opinion.
I think they've been waiting for 6 years. Still win the AFC East. Yeah,
they still would win it.
I think they still win it.
Brian Hoyer's not a bum. I mean, you talk like he's just nobody.
And that coaching staff's been together
for 20 years. I didn't say he's a bum, but he's certainly not. I mean, come on.
All right.
How good is he? Is he a top 25 talent?
No, I'm just saying he's solid.
Okay. I think it's
he's going to do what they ask him to do. He's not going to go above and beyond. He's going to carry out his assignment.
You could say Brian Hoyer is better than all the other starting quarterbacks in the AFC East.
Ooh.
That
you could say that.
Brian Hoyer, Tannehill, and I think it's pretty clear now.
This is the quarterback you're talking to
that
now.
That Sam Darnold is going to be the day one starter,
Sam will
right?
be good, and he'll be the day one starter, but would you take Brian Hoyer? Would you take Sam
for the
over Brian Hoyer, like
season.
Right first, you know?
I think I would because I'm a pedigree snob, and I like the higher ceiling. That's right.
I like that. I would too. I mean, I'm just asking the question.
I think you would.
Yeah, I would. I'm just asking the question.
All right.
Just posing it.
All right.
It's interesting. And also, you know who else? Right? What else Sean O'Hara said that dropped my jaw? He thinks that the best rookie QB from this class is going to be Josh Allen. What do you think of that?
That's a little bit of a jaw dropper based on what I've seen so far. A little bit. I mean, he has the ability. He just tries to do too much right now.
I know it's easy to get very optimistic about anything you see in August and to make a case for your team. I do think the Bills have a chance to be the worst team in the NFL this year overall. But it's easy to be overly optimistic about a guy. But I suddenly feel like that this first round rookie QB class might really not have any abject busts in it.
No, they're solid.
They're solid.
They're solid.
I don't know if any of them are going to be bums.
Like, no, I mean they're all well schooled. Like they came in, and that's what I was kind of talking about earlier in our production meeting for the show later is the fact that when you watch these guys on film, they don't put themselves in bad situations. They know how to protect themselves. They know how to get the ball out. Like they're on it. There's not mental errors out there. So like Josh Allen's stuff, I mean it jumps off the screen at you because when you're watching him throw the football, I mean it's electric. It's really like something like wow, that ball got there. Way faster than most people get the ball there, you know.
And he's such a fluid mover, and I
and
think
he
it
runs
takes,
better than people think.
Right?
You know,
he's for a big guy. He's
for
big,
a big guy. He's able to scramble, avoid guys, pick up 20 yards. So, I mean, I think he's going to be really good.
This
They're
is
all
a good
really
class.
Good. Yeah,
but
I agree.
You know, we it has to play out.
They all sure. there's it has all the play there's out. A like we say there's a it's a coin yeah. flip basically.
Yeah, it is.
It's a 50-50 kind of proposition most of the time.
It's got to be the perfect storm. You got to have the right coaching staff, the guys around you, like the, right. the you're talking about New England. I mean, think about the system that they have there in place for a quarterback to walk in. I mean, it's
well,
good.
David Carr and I have been kibitzing Willie about doing a segment called QB or not QB and trying to determine is it the quarterback who is making the offense work, or is the offensive structure allowing this quarterback to thrive?
See, you know, I was a victim of that. A lot of people, you know, say our success was based on the system. And I think it's 50-50. I think with any system, you talk about Gase, right? He has a good system, right? Genius, you said. Well, you got to have players to carry out those systems, mm-hmm. and you got to have consistency. So in any system, regardless of what it is, you got to have really good players to carry out those systems. Else, it's just a system.
That's kind of what we were talking about, too. It's a little bit of both. And when you can find where there's a good system and good players, you get a consistently good team.
And what's different about New England is they create their systems around their personnel.
Yeah, it is unique.
So they don't just say, here's our system, we're going to run this every week.
It's true, because when you watch Josh Daniels and them call plays, right. it doesn't have a unique system. No. It's like, we're just going to do this because these guys are better at it.
We're going to build it around our players' skill set and what they do well and what they don't do well, and that's how we're going to game plan.
Which is why I hate the rigidity of the Greg Williams as D.C. in Cleveland bit that, but for what I want to do, Denzel Ward's a better fit. Yeah, what about the raw talent, though, Bradley Chubb, that you've let come and go now? Because Greg Williams, who isn't going to be there in 18 months or two.
Oh, wow.
Or three. Well, he's not going to be there in 3 years one way or the other.
You never know, man.
You
drafted turn
a guy because
around.
He needed him. That's ridiculous. that's a dumb way to operate things, in my opinion. That's why
I guess there's a couple ways to do it, right?
That's true.
All right, here's the next question. Again, revisiting something that we started last week. I'm curious for your thoughts about this one. Tom Brady is a good place to start. What quarterback is worth the most wins? Or flipping it the other way, if you remove that quarterback from that team, who would suddenly fall off a cliff in terms of loss? The loss totals would
pile. We already saw that, right?
We already have. We had an example of it last year. It's Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is a great answer, and Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass agrees with you about that. But I find that a little bit too easy to go with that with the greatest quarterback I've ever seen.
Okay,
you're talking about now, though.
We're talking about right now.
Right now.
2018, you take this quarterback away.
Do you have one that can change our mind?
I think the two correct answers. I'll let you throw one out.
No, I want to hear yours.
Obviously, it wasn't the Eagles. They kept on going with Nick Foles, which is interesting. That's a good place for us to start, actually, David Carr, is offensive structure versus quarterback.
Yeah, that actually would
be
a great
place.
Well, let's just remember, too, they changed that offensive structure for Nick Foles, too, and it took a few weeks. He didn't come in light on fire when he first started.
True.
So Frank Wright did a good job of morphing that offensive system around him as well. So it took a few weeks to get that going, like 4 to 5 weeks. To kind of get that going.
But the best coordinators adapt. Like Bill O'Brien did that.
Right
down in Houston with Deshaun Watson. Like he completely
Is that one of your guys?
Deshaun Watson, when we did have this conversation last week, came up.
And
it's a pretty interesting one to throw out there.
Drew Brees?
You know what? Somehow we passed over on
Russell Wilson.
I don't know. I think they can. You know
how bad the Seahawks would be if Russell Wilson was their quarterback?
I think that is one of the two final answers.
That's definitely one.
All respect to Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
He keeps them afloat.
They would be
a
two-win team if he was not there.
If you look at 2017, that team, obviously, they didn't get to the playoffs. But if you had taken three off that roster, they really would have been
an atrocious collection.
The other option that I think is the correct answer, number one in Charlotte, North Carolina. What about
that? So.
How bad would they be if you take Cam off that team?
Derek Anderson's not
bad. He's all right.
Derek Anderson's
all right. He
played all right.
When he goes in, he's a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Yeah, when he plays solid. I don't know if you watched him a lot, but he's solid.
It does matter who the backup is. We're doing this in real terms and what would be behind
the
guy.
I would say he's one of the top 10 or top 8-7 backups. Yeah. That are backing up a starter right now in the
Derek
league.
Derek Anderson would not make this team.
You didn't watch Derek Anderson.
I understand what you're saying, though.
I've watched plenty of Derek Anderson.
I think what you're saying, you can't replace a Cam Newton. Like, no one else is physically like him. So, in that regard,
he steals games for that team.
Yeah, but they wouldn't fall off the cliff if Derek Anderson
Derek
was
can
the
rip
quarterback.
It. He can sling it
he
around
can,
the yard.
Yeah, he can.
He's like 6'8".
All right, so you guys are going with Aaron Rodgers. Noted. Aaron Rodgers, but I think I'm right with three and one.
I think the whole team changes.
Three for sure.
Okay. Russell if that's Wilson the way you sure. guys want to go.
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to hear real quick, or should we let these guys go? These guys got to wrap up here. Okay, yeah, you guys go. David Carr, we have some homework. We have to get you to do a picture like Baker Mayfield. That's another first overall pick.
Oh, wow, this is going to be a great picture.
We got to do that.
I might do
he's
it.
Ripped
I
up
might
right
do it
now.
For you.
He's
might,
ripped up right now.
I feel pretty good about myself.
Oh, he's
it
ripped
looks
up.
Looks terrific.
Yeah,
get some sun in Bakersfield. 105 degrees.
Can I ask you something? You were a little more swole a year ago, right?
Oh, yeah. I was like I was telling him the other day, I was like 250, 255.
Really? But it didn't look bad. It didn't look bad. It looked good, though.
Yeah, I couldn't. I mean, man, his joints, knees, and like, oh, it's just.
He should be wearing this shirt.
He should be
wearing this shirt.
The Superman. All right.
I couldn't do it.
Is that your favorite superhero?
This is just a shirt I picked up.
He's the only superhero,
Walmart. You know, actually, my favorite guy is the Hulk, Incredible Hulk.
Oh, Hulk. Okay.
He's indestructible, right?
That's exactly right. You know who else is indestructible?
Thanos didn't
Superman.
Think so.
No.
What would happen if they. Kryptonite.
The Kryptonite. Remember, he died in the last.
Who do you
last,
think would win in a fight? Battle. Hulk or Superman?
Hulk, because he's green. What is Kryptonite? You bring that green.
Couldn't he just grab the Hulk and fly up into outer space and then it'd be over?
David Carr gets it. That's exactly what happened.
I know, but he can't die. He's indestructible.
So what? But he's.
I feel like the Hulk.
You
could
marginalize
die.
Him. TKO.
Superman died like in the last. Lungs. He still has lungs.
Superman died in the last movie.
That was I was not involved in writing that script.
I know, but he died.
I would know Batman was up to something. Like, let me use my super hearing and got it. First of all, I know he's Bruce Wayne. I'd show up to his house and kill him before he even turned into Batman.
We'll turn this over to the jury in 1 second. Okay. But I want to say this: if you, I've said the same thing, David Carr. Just grab the Hulk by his big toe and fly him out into deep space
and leave him. It's over.
What's he gonna do?
He can jerk
swim
loose.
Back? What's he going to jerk loose? They're both strong. He's going to drag him. He could throw him.
That happened to him before, though.
The Hulk.
He went up there, and he kind of went out, and then he came back.
The Hulk did?
He did.
I remember that happening, actually.
The Hulk went into space.
No, he
made it back clean.
I think I remember that happening.
He came all the way back down and just boom.
He was ready.
But if he turns back into Bruce Banner while he's out there in deep space, then he's dead.
He's not going to. He won't. He's upset.
He's going to relax out there.
Mad.
He's going to be like, now I'm not mad anymore. Wait a minute. Don't
Banner.
Change. All right. We've covered it all here. I think this was a fine season preview. I think we maybe don't do another podcast until the season starts because we've addressed all the main issues here upcoming. Listen, two of the greats doing it, David Carr and Willie McGinnis, always a treat when we get to kibitz with these fellas. All right, let's move along because Eddie Spaghetti, speaking of glad-handing with celebrities, did just that, a Boston-based one. By the way, McGinnis, before we get to that, who is the greatest Boston athlete of all time?
Oh, wow.
Because that's what he asked.
You gotta go back
celebrity.
To the you gotta go back to the Celtics.
Like,
Larry
are you
Bird?
Gonna go
Larry
all the way
Bird,
back?
Kevin McHale.
Yeah,
there's some good basketball players. In there.
You're gonna go McHale
even
over
before,
Brady?
Even before then, I'm saying you got Brady, you got Orr.
Yeah,
I mean, look at all the baseball teams for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Wait, who am I missing? The older the
Bird's the
no. Russell.
Oh, Russell. Yeah.
Like you can.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
I mean. Wow, there's a lot,
those rings.
There's a lot.
I can't. I'm surprised that Tom Brady just wasn't your.
No, he's in. No, he's
then.
In. You said athlete.
Right.
Have you seen Tom Brady?
You said athlete.
That's a good point.
You didn't say player. You didn't say player. You said athlete.
We got
to
do the NFL.
Yeah. Most athletic.
You guys are both probably a little too young to remember the old ABC show, the Superstars competition, where they would get the real best athletes.
I think that I've seen clips of it.
They used to have Tony Dorsett and Vince Vaughn and all those guys.
Competing against each other,
But they would do all manner of sports, and it would all culminate with an obstacle course.
I used to come back.
I wish
it
would
do it.
That would be cool. No, because they're all too worried about the,
it's on my contract. I can't hurt myself.
The contract, and I'll lose it, and they won't do it. But if we could really do that.
Yeah, that'd be neat.
Who would win? LeBron James?
That's a pretty good bet. Pretty safe.
I would take.
Or Cam. Or Russell
Wilson. I would love to see LeBron and Cam again doing something against each other.
Yeah. Let's make it
That'd
so.
That would be fantastic, actually.
I think it'll be more of like somebody like a Gordon. Like somebody that's fast.
That's easy.
Jeff
more.
Gordon?
Josh.
Because that's strong. Like
Julio.
Or,
like Julio or something.
Yeah,
like
somebody that can get up the wall quick. Like you got to think of all
true.
That
that's
stuff.
True, yeah.
Let's do that next offseason.
Let's do it.
But now it's football season.
Yeah, we got to focus on football.
Right, we got to go do a photo shoot. All right, Willie McGinnis, David Carr. We'll kibitz soon, I hope.
Dave Demashek.
Always delightful talking with those two fellas. And now, as promised, here's Eddie Spaghetti, a little chunk of his conversation with A-lister. Here it comes. Mark Wahlberg, what?
Is Tom Brady right now on that level of guy, like with those guys, the Bill Russells, Larry Birds, is he on that elite top level?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He's right there at the top. I mean, Bill Russell has 11 championships and 10 fingers. So, you know, that's pretty hard to beat. But at the level that they have been with the way football works today, it's pretty amazing, you know, that they are continuously in the conversation there. If they're, you know, they won the division, I don't know what, 10 of the last 11 seasons, you know, they've, you know, been in the AFC championship. They've been to the Super Bowl now 8 times. It's pretty incredible. They'll probably win, you know, 2 or 3 more before Tom retires.
2 or 3 more for Brady. I love it, but I love even more. Eddie Spaghetti, you out there glad-handing with the Hollywood glitterati, eh?
Yeah, that was a very nerve-wracking day.
You were nervous.
I was nervous because I didn't really know what I was going in. Like, it wasn't a red carpet, so I was like a junket, so I thought they're kind of sitting on a panel and just ask questions. That, to me, like more press conference style, would have been fine. But it's like you're in a hotel room with a bunch of other outlets. So then we got there, and I see how many people were there, like known people who do these things for a living. And I kind of just agreed to like a couple days before. But I did my research, and then once I did the first one with Ronda Rousey, and then I did the second one with Lauren Cohen, who's been on The Walking Dead, I was like, okay, I got kind of warmed up for Mark. And then I didn't even need to, because like Mark was literally the easiest guy to talk to, super nice, and it was like very conversational, like super, like even off air he talked, and he was like, hey man, like, I don't really remember people's names who I interview, but I remember your name. Like, thanks so much. And he was like love talking NFL. So he was pretty happy that they had like another fun outlet there to talk about other stuff besides his movie, Mile 22.
And you liked the picture?
I did. The two biggest things in this movie, Mile 22, which just came out August 17th. One, you're on the edge of your seat the entire time, which you could say pretty much for any action movie, but this one, I really do believe that. It's because you don't know what's going to happen. The whole point of the movie is to get, let's just to keep spoiling it, but like a package to a certain point, and it just involves a lot of chaos. So that aspect was awesome. And then the second thing that I loved about it was how you're constantly guessing like what's going to happen next, and there's a few twists and turns, and again, not to spoil it, but it does, you do walk out of the movie with like your jaw dropped. It's pretty wild.
Did you mention to him as you are wrapping up your kibitz session, hey, by the way, I root for Eli and the rest of the guys in blue who knocked off your beloved Brady a couple of times?
I didn't get to slam him with I'm a Giants fan.
So courageous.
But I did bring up the recent sting of losing to the Eagles. Actually, it was a question from you. You gave me the heads up to do it. Was he played Vince Papale in Invincible? So he played an Eagle. Did he jinx the Patriots by being an Eagle? And he had a great answer that he said, because he played Vince, if there was any team to beat the Patriots, it should be the Eagles. But he did say going into the Super Bowl, he was like, you know, this should have been like it was with McNabb. Because he just like, oh, they're just there for the ride. They're going to lose to us. Like, we know we've been here before. Like, we know how to win.
That's what I figured. Yeah. I think that's what most of America figured.
And so he had a great answer. And he even said, I think after the Super Bowl was over, he had Brendan Graham, defensive end of the Eagles, like over his house hanging out. Like, so he's pretty much tight with them.
Wait a minute. Yeah. I don't know about that move. I don't think Patriots loyalists will smile on that one.
Well, his best friend, Peter Berg, who directed the movie, is a hardcore Giants fan who we watched the Super Bowl with. He has Brendan Graham over his house. So I think like Mark, despite being a hardcore Patriots and, you know, Boston sports fan in general, does kind of mess around with the people of all different fan bases. So he had, like I said, yeah, Brendan Graham over, Peter Berg, he had to kick him out of his room because the last moments of the Super Bowl were not too happy for Mark, but yeah, that was a story he told.
I talked to Vince a couple of times as he was going to the Super Bowl. I was in Columbia shooting the movie. I actually had to kick Pete out of my room as I was watching the game because even though he's a Giant and his division rivalry is with the Eagles, he still didn't want to see the Patriots win a 6th Super Bowl. But if I was going to lose to anybody, it would definitely have to be the Philadelphia Eagles. That way I wouldn't be completely devastated. Now, let's not say that I was completely happy, but I was happy for the city of Philadelphia, what it means to them in making Invincible really kind of reminded me of, like, you know, the Red Sox, who hadn't won for such a long time. People, hardworking people, kind of hang their hopes on their football teams, their baseball teams. So I was happy for the Eagles. Let's just say that.
Okay.
Brandon Graham came to my house after he made the strip sack. It was like one of those things where, you know, I willed it to happen that they go – and beat you know, the Vikings. I mean, I willed it all to happen, but they was just supposed to be happy to be there like the last time when they had Donovan McNabb.
You know, it's funny with Wahlberg because he does cross those team loyalty lines regularly. I once he was on the, he was a guest on the Kimmel show one night. And me and cousin Sal, you know, Jimmy's cousin, we jumped him because we were not Mark Wahlberg, rather the guy who apparently is with him all the time, him and his family, Ty Domi, Rangers pugilist.
Wow.
Isn't that weird? Mark Wahlberg and Ty Domi are super pally.
NHL enforcer.
And then Mario Lemieux is also pally with Ty Domi.
So
you should ask Wahlberg, does he know 66 Lemieux? That's what I would
like to
know.
I'm sure, you
would
have been happy about that. I'm not shocked because Mark does love sports. I mean, if you follow him on social media, he's constantly working out. He's talking about athletes. He's interacting with athletes. Like, that's his passion besides, you know, acting is sports. But I wonder why. Did Ty Domi even play at all with the Bruins? I know he's
Maple Leaf. Ty Domi is one of these guys who apparently just leads that charmed life where
he's run into
a bunch of different people. I asked him, how did you get to be, of all the people, when they cut away to the owner's box in the igloo in Pittsburgh, how are you the guy up there with the greatest player of all time? And he said, we just met in a bar once in New York and hit it off and became fast friends.
I'm not shocked. Like I said before, he's a super nice guy. Like, I all my stress and nerves were
gone. I'm talking Domi. I'm not talking about your boy Wahlberg.
Well, they like Mark because he's a nice guy. That's where.
Who is more jacked, you or Wahlberg?
Oh, it's Mark.
Wahlberg's more jacked than
he's
you.
He's not. I mean, he just his body fat's super low. He's a I don't want to mean offensive to Mark, but I am significantly taller than him.
Significantly taller.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He's not the tallest guy, but he's in great shape. I mean, like I said, look at his social media. He's working out at 4 a.m. every day. His diet's great. My diet hasn't been the
best.
Who's
in better shape, Mark Wahlberg or Baker Mayfield in his underpants?
Wahlberg. Yeah, yeah.
He's another guy who is famous. He first came to fame because he did an underpants shoot.
Yeah,
he was
Mark. I remember that.
How about that? Look how we complete the circle of this show today. You know, we start with Mayfield. We end with Wahlberg, two men
in underpants,
you know? That's a great way. I think that's a great place to leave it. All right, so we'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce for you later in the week. We'll focus in Teddy Bridgewater. May he move? May he not? May he stay where he is? Will he be the starting quarterback? It's looking less and less likely. Either way, we'll cover it for you on the next Dave Dameshek football program. Until then, for Eddie Spaghetti, Emma VP, Willie McGinnis, and David Carr. Ooh, and Mark Wahlberg, too. It's been a thin slice of heaven.